Now, how many times have you stood at some beautiful spot in our region and thought, wow, there's no place like this anywhere else on Earth? It's a bit of hyperbole, but in many cases, it is true that what we have here is found only here, and that's the case for quite a few plants. The Cascade Siskiyou National Monument was created in large part because of the unique plants and animals hanging around the state line. We'll focus a bit further south today on the Trinity Alps. Ken DeCamp is the creator, words and pictures of the book Wildflowers of the Trinity Alps, and he's our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Ken, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
So you are not new to flowers or photographs of them. Give us a short history here. Short history of a long history, it sounds like.
Short history. I've been actively involved in photography since I was actually 11 years old. My folks were both photographers and shot wildflower photographs as well. I didn't really get seriously involved in wildflower photography until probably the late 80s, but since then it's been an obsession almost, I guess you could call it.
In the early days of taking pictures of wildflowers, did you really know what you were looking at?
No, I did not. I have to confess, I'm a total amateur botanist. I am not a professional at all. And I grew up knowing wildflowers and plants by common names, and unfortunately, common names don't quite cut it because several wildflowers across different species can have the same name. When I first started putting this together, I really wanted to orient it towards the amateur wildflower enthusiast. My efforts were pretty good up to a point when I invited my two botanist friends to take a look at what I had actually produced, and they gave me the big thumbs down and said, no, it's not going to work. We need to organize this scientifically and make it something appropriate for everybody across the platform, professionals as well as amateurs.
And those two botanists, are those Julie Kierstead Nelson and Julie Knorr?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I worked with both of these women. They're outstanding botanists, both of them. Julie Nelson was a botanist on the Shasta Trinity, and Julie Knorr was actually a botanist on the Klamath. And I worked with her upon Mount Ashland along the Siskiyou Crest, actually shooting for her several years ago. One's retired, Julie Knorr's retired, and Julie Nelson is still actively involved.
So your introduction to Wildflowers of the Trinity Alps talks about mountains and the way many people see them. I mean, the grand vistas are certainly impressive, but you think in somewhat different terms, you point out. And like the, not seeing the mountains as a framework for everything else.
Yeah, you know, I think too often people are oblivious to the little things that actually make up the vista. We get so enthralled with the grand views, and certainly they are stunning. But when you get down on your hands and knees and you really start looking at what actually builds those vistas, it's a whole new world. And I was just invited to do a crawling tour of Patrick's Point State Park over on the coast.
Crawling tour?
But yeah, because in order to see a lot of this stuff, you got to get down on your hands and knees and or even lower and actually get eyeball to eyeball with some of these things, because a lot of them are less than 2-3 inches tall.
Wow. And so you spent a lot of time on your hands and knees. 505 species, subspecies, and varieties. How long altogether did just the photography portion of the book take?
Years. I've told several people I have 16 terabytes, if you're familiar with storage, of wildflower pictures. Now, that includes Switzerland, the Blue Ridge Mountains back in back east, and the Trinity Alps, Russian Wilderness, Marble Mountains as well, and the Trinity Divide. It's a lot of wildflower photographs.
That really is.
Yeah.
Wow. That's 16,000 gigabytes, isn't it?
Yeah, terabytes.
All right, 16 terabytes.
Yes.
So 16,000 gigabytes.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Wow. Ken DeCamp is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the author and photographer of Wildflowers of the Trinity Alps, including the Marble Mountain Wilderness, Russian Wilderness, and Trinity Divide. If you've got some questions or some observations about wildflowers you've seen in those regions, join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you did include some regions besides the Trinity Alps. The subtitle certainly implies that.
Yes. As it turned out, my first impression of this was to do just a book of the Trinity Alps, but because this region is so closely tied and the geology is so homogeneous, it quickly became apparent that these wildflowers are scattered across this entire Klamath region and beyond, actually. So because I spent a lot of time in the Russians and I've spent time in the Marbles and a lot of time on the Trinity Divide, I decided that this would be more appropriate. You really can't separate out the area. I mean, geologically you can into several different subsets, but for the most part, the Klamaths are the Klamaths. They extend all the way from Highway 96, you know, down to 299 West, Shasta Lake on the east, and almost to the Coast Range on the west.
For the people who don't know the Trinity Alps, or maybe like me have lived here for 30 plus years and have never been to the Trinity Alps, I mean, what? Give us just a general description of the feeling you get there.
Magnificent. It's along with the Russians and the Marbles. It's just unbelievably beautiful country. I grew up in the Trinity Alps pretty much from the time I was just a little kid, and I actually took, this sounds a little strange, but I took my first solo backpacking trip when I was 10 at the encouragement of my folks.
They went on a weekend alone, did they?
I was up there alone for 2 days at night, absolutely terrified I was going to be chewed by a bear. But so I grew up in this country, and I have a really deep devotion to it. I absolutely love it. The scenery is absolutely stunning, and the variety of wildflowers, lichens, mushrooms is just unbelievable.
Is there a best time of year to go up there to see the flowers?
Actually, if you start in mid-December down around Shasta Lake and the Trinity River, you'll find all kinds of things starting to bloom, milkmaids, manzanita, shooting stars, that sort of thing. And then as you climb higher and higher, really good time to see a lot of this country is in July and August. And the wildflower bloom, especially in August at elevations from about 6,000 feet and above, is just stunning.
Is there a poster child? Is there a wildflower that really represents the Trinity Alps better than any other?
A lot of this country is serpentine country, peridotite, and that is highly mineralized soil.
Very acidic too, isn't it?
Yeah, and it gives rise to some really intriguing plant communities, and probably the one that I think most people think of when they think that maybe two, azaleas, western azalea, and cobra plants, which it's a little carnivorous meat eater. those two are probably like flagship species for that area.
And how much of the year can you see them?
Oh, all the way up until November.
Okay, so yeah. Much of the year. Yeah. I was going to ask you, too, about the Siskiyou fireweed, because that certainly bears the name of the region and how common that is and what it looks like, even.
The only place I've shot that in several places, up in Bear Basin, around Seven Up Lake, and above Kangaroo Lake, on a trip with Julie Knorr, who one of the contributors. We shot that along the Fen Trail, which I recommend highly if you're interested in geology and wildflowers. And that's right, takes off right at Kangaroo Lake and into the high country along the Divide and the PCT. Siskiyou fireweed loves the cliff faces there and little rocky crevices.
Some other names that jump out of the book, Death Camas, for example.
Yeah. A lot of that has to do with livestock, like Klamath weed and that sort of thing. People aren't going to eat that. I mean, they're not going to intentionally pick it and eat it. I suppose maybe some moron might do that, but I can't see anybody.
There's another one called Lady's Slipper, which is aptly named. This is a really wild look. It really looks like a couple of house slippers hanging off off the plants.
absolutely beautiful. Orchids are typical. They have that shoe shape, like the California lady slipper and the mountain lady slipper. They're just absolutely gorgeous. Like you could just slip your feet right into them if they were just a little bit larger. But orchids are one of those beautiful wildflowers that should not be picking up any wildflower, but these are especially dependent on soil conditions, and they should never be picked. Take pictures.
That was another big question. Yeah, you mentioned that people probably wouldn't pick them and eat them, but the curiosity then about the best use of wildflowers is to leave them alone completely.
Exactly right. Yeah. You know, a lot of times I'll walk into a camp up in the high country and I'll find people have decorated logs and places around camp with wildflowers that they've picked, and you know, it just shouldn't be done. It's not a thing that people should do. I see recently over on the coast, I witnessed a couple of parents encouraging their kids to kick the mushrooms down along the trail. This was in Patrick's Point State Park, and I'm thinking, you know, they're an integral part of the environment and are supposed to be protected, especially in a state or a national park, but actually anywhere. And you don't need to be doing that.
Did you tell them? Did you become the mushroom troll that day?
Yeah, I talked to them for a little bit. You know, they sort of, You know, I think that's a big attitude towards mushrooms with a lot of people. So, yeah.
Ken DeCamp is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is called Wildflowers of the Trinity Alps, including the Marble Mountain Wilderness, Russian Wilderness, and Trinity Divide. Got questions, got comments, got observations of your own to report from these areas we're talking about and some spectacular wildflowers or views you've seen? We'd like to hear from you. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Do you have an event, a reading, something coming up about the book sometime soon?
Yeah, we're going to be at the Northwest Nature Shop tonight at 6:30, and be doing a slideshow presentation and book signing for them.
How did you whittle down to a slideshow from the 16 terabytes of images you have?
It's hard. It took me forever to figure out actually what I was going to use in the book. And fortunately, the Julies played a big part in thinning out the herd, so to speak.
This is painstaking work, though. I mean, I observed that with a couple of images, I mean, in order to see the plant at different seasons and to see different parts of the plant, you have sometimes six images per species.
Yeah. You know, if you're there at different times of the year, you're going to see different things. You know, the basic structure of the plant doesn't change, but obviously as the wildflowers emerge and, you know, the seed heads come on and then fall, I think people need to know, you know, basically what they're looking at in November as well as in April or May.
Now, this is a book designed to be lugged around and compared with flowers. So we talked about you had to have the Latin names in there just to make sure nothing was confusing. But the arrangement of the book is really interesting. It's a color-based system.
Yeah. We decided to arrange everything. This is for basically for the amateur. So it's arranged by color and petal structure, ovary structure, and whether or not it's an herb or a shrub or a small tree or a vine, perhaps. So it's fairly easy if you if you pay attention to the descriptions along the side, you'll see, you know, it lists like five symmetrical petals or five irregular petals, and then the actual table of contents breaks it down even more. So it's actually very simple for people to use if they find something and have it right in front of them.
Let's take some calls. We have Kevin and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ken DeCamp, the author of Wildflowers of the Trinity Alps.
Yeah, thank you, Jeffrey. I was going to ask your guest about a couple spots in the Marble and the Trinities. What if he had been there and recommend the area and when for maybe wildflowers? One is up Thompson Peak. I went up there once, and I don't remember many flowers then. Maybe I went at a wrong time via, that was a Grizzly Lake. And the other one was up in the Marble Mountains off Scotts River, and there's a canyon creek that goes up to King's Castle in the Marbles. Just wondering if you've been at these spots and recommend when you might go.
Okay, best time to go to Thompson Peak and the castle up there, King's Castle.
Yeah, Thompson Peak and the Trinity Alps, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, typically I found the best time to visit those higher lakes like Grizzly and Papoose and Upper Canyon Creek would be in August and early September. Wildflowers all around the meadows on the east side of Grizzly Lake are just spectacular with flowers in August. Mm-hmm. And Lois Lake is another one where you'll find a really nice variety of wildflowers. Papoose is surrounded by meadows. And if you like leopard lilies, Papoose is one of those absolutely amazing places. If you're on the east side of the lake and you look up through those meadows, it's just rich with wildflowers. But leopard lilies grow up to 7 feet taller. Absolutely gorgeous.
So a general rule of thumb, then, August is the best time?
Yes, yeah. I found probably the best period of time is from about the 1st of August to the middle of September.
Let's take another call. We have Don and Eugene on the line. Welcome to The Exchange with Ken DeCamp.
Well, I was a young man wandering around up in there back in the 60s, and it is a beautiful place, and it was very accessible at that time, and very wild, but I found, to my surprise, all these sluice constructions that were built for hydraulic mining, and you know, you think you're in the wild wilderness, and here's a sluice thing designed to bring water down from up higher to blast the mountain away. It's amazing. And the other thing I wanted to mention is there are bears there. I met one.
and he didn't
want to have anything to do with me either, but, you know, it was a chance encounter that I remember.
All right.
Clearly.
Thanks for sharing the story, Don. Appreciate that. So the issue of the wilderness being trammeled or untrammeled, it has been touched at times, it sounds like.
It definitely has. The Trinity Alps were heavily mined, you know, Coffee Creek, Union Creek, and the flumes brought water down to Oregon Mountain for the mining operation there. Started up in Emerald and Sapphire Lakes. They built dams, raised the level of the lakes, and then they transferred that water down via flumes. And so, yeah, it was not always wilderness. And in fact, it was probably a pretty noisy place back in the late 1800s, all the machinery going, especially around the Dorleska mine. If you have ever walked into the Dorleska from Big Flat or up Union Creek, you're going to find tons, literally tons, of rusting machinery still laying around. Same with Emerald and Sapphire Lakes, a lot of stuff.
Well, you know, Don was talking about his encounter with the bear, and this brings us back to the idea of leaving the flowers alone. I mean, I wonder if you flip that equation around, are some of these flowers, I mean, obviously there's poison oak up there, but anything else that people should really avoid?
No, you know, poison oak, one of the few places you'll find it in the Trinity Alps is along Canyon Creek because it's a fairly low elevation trail. Big French Creek is the same. Yeah, avoid the poison oak. If you don't know what it looks like, it's in the book. there really isn't anything else up there that really needs to be avoided. I get upset with people who let their dogs run and chase bears and deer. I don't think that's an especially good thing. It's real popular for people with dogs up in Morris Meadows, and you'll find in the evening up there, there'll be 20-some-odd bears in the meadows. And the minute people let their dogs loose, you know, I go up there to see things like that. I don't appreciate people
chasing off the things you're up there to see.
Yeah.
Let's take another call. Here's George in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ken DeCamp.
Hey there. Great interview. Hey, I'm wondering who's the publisher of this book and where might we find copies of it outside the area of Ashland?
All right. Well, it is from, he wants to know who the publisher is. It's Backcountry Press.
Yeah. You can order the book directly from Backcountry Press, and they're located in Eureka. you can also order it through Amazon. My personal preference is if you're going to get it through Backcountry. I think the service is faster. And several bookstores in the Eureka Arcata area carry the book. So you can buy it at almost any bookstore, Booklegger, Eureka Books. You know, I every Every bookstore over there carries it.
So I had to ask about, and I should point out, too, that that Michael Kaufman is the publisher, right?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, Backcountry Press. He's been here a couple of times to talk about his Conifer book, so this is right in that series. In the process of photographing these, I don't see any particularly harsh shadows. Did you shade all the plants for these pictures?
Yes, I do. I very rarely shoot in full sun unless I'm looking for some kind of backlit effect or something like that. I think you get better color reproduction, more true color reproduction by shooting in the shade. So I always shade my subjects, you know, with a small tarp or a coat or myself or my wife if she's with me. any shade is a good time. I especially love thunderstorms in the high country because the light, you know, we talk about sweet light for photographers morning and evening. Thunderstorms, you get sweet light all day long. And so when other people are streaming out of the wilderness, I'm going in to take pictures because it's actually, for me, the best time to be there.
So just a minute to go here, and I wanted to ask you, Ken, before we go, if there is one best place in the Trinity Alps to go and enjoy the flowers, if you could, you know, had to just go to one place to go to, what would it be?
If you're an avid hiker, Stony Ridge Trail to Stonewall Pass. Through the years, I've photographed between the trailhead and Stonewall Pass 54 varieties or species of wildflowers. And on one trip last year, over 30 species in one day.
Wow. Wildflowers of the Trinity Alps is the book. Ken DeCamp has spent many years putting this together and 16 terabytes of images he's been sifting through to put it all together. You can see him tonight at Northwest Nature Shop in Ashland. That'll be at 6:30 this evening, and the book is available pretty much generally. Thanks so much for joining us, Ken DeCamp.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity.